It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we will begin a new series, Do As He Says. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is The Statesman with What a Savior, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
Say, oh, I'm trying to You know, the Bible is so powerful a book. And I was thinking recently that I have been remiss. Yes, I have been remiss because I have not been, you know, truthfully taking the time to convey the message of just how supremely important Bible scripture is. And I was thinking about it. I was reading the scriptures recently, and I got to John chapter 2, verse 5, the story of Jesus turning water into wine. And a statement by Mary, the mother of Jesus, struck me. And I read it, and I read it, and I thought, you know, if a person wants to lead a successful life, if a person wants eternal life, if a person wants to defeat every evil force that comes against him or her, they need to remember these few words. I'd like to read it to you today, and I want to let you know that I'm so touched about today's message. If you don't do as you learn today or discover today, even as a Christian, you will not be happy. You may make it to heaven, barely, when all your works are burnt to a crisp because there were really none worthy of entering into heaven with you, but you're not going to be happy. You're going to be a miserable person. You may be a little bit happier than the average person who's not a Christian, but nevertheless, why wouldn't you want a successful, happy, lovely life? And I think you can achieve it. And I want to help you. In a world that's beset with turmoil and chaos and people are worried about keeping their jobs and, you know, and even just barely, some of them are, people are barely living. And some are worried about what they're going to do to buy food for their children this very day. Others are saying, oh my goodness, how am I going to pay my rent? They're going to cut off my utilities. My car is just broken. What am I going to do? I don't have the money to repair it. There are all kinds of, there's family difficulties. You know, this sister gets angry at this one and this brother, you know, and you know, they say one of the worst days of the year is Christmas, because that's when all the family gets together. And they start backbiting, and all the jealousies and envies come out, and all the past history is paraded out again. Some people have told me they just wish Christmas wasn't in the book. Well, of course, Christmas, the very day, December 25th, wasn't really the day when Jesus was born. Maybe we ought to just dispense with it. And you can celebrate any day of the year is when Jesus came, since we don't have an exact date in the Bible. That's pretty radical, isn't it? Well, I'm a radical man. Jesus was pretty radical himself. If you go up against the world, you will be looked upon as a rebel, as maybe even backward, maybe dangerous. Okay, let's talk today. And today's message for successful Christian living is a bit of advice for you. Do as he says. Isn't that easy? Do as he says. Well, let's go to chapter 2 of John. We're going to see what this means and how it can make your life so happy. I mean, there'll be no bounds to your success and your happiness. I promise you. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine.
Yeah.
Jesus' mother came to him and says, we don't have any wine. You know, I can just see it. What are we going to do? I don't know if she ran out or she failed to get the wine in the first place or whatever. But it is his mother, his worldly mother, you know what I mean, his earthly mother. You want to please your mom. But he hadn't started doing his miracles yet. His ministry really had not been made, you know, public as such, even though he had his disciples and had chosen them. So Jesus saith unto her, woman, because, you know, in a way, Mary represents all women. He said, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Well, evidently, Jesus thought about it and said, okay, I'll do it. Don't we all do that sometime? Especially when your mother asks. Okay, Jesus, you know, was saying, listen, it's not time for me to go out and do miracles. And I don't know, maybe he was even saying, this is, you know, in wine, who, you know, you're coming to me for wine and I'm God of the universe. Okay, all right. But evidently he gave his mother the signal or the language that it was okay. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So Jesus let her know he would go ahead and accomplish a miracle for her and get wine. Now, he didn't say, I'm going to make wine from water. Mary evidently didn't know how he was going to do it, but she trusted her son. I think it's important, folks, for you to trust Jesus Christ. You don't know how he's going to accomplish something. Sometimes I say, Lord, would you do something for me, please? And I give him the exact formula. Here's how I want it accomplished. Wrong. God can accomplish things in different ways that you don't even think of. It's best just tell him what you really need and want and beg and petition him and let him go about his business. He'll get there a lot quicker, probably better, more economically even than you and I will. But listen to this again. His mother saith unto his servants, or unto the servant, whatever he says to you, whatever he saith in Old English, unto you, do it. That's all she needed to say. I think this is a real biblical principle of successful living. Whatever God says to you, do it. Friends, don't hesitate. Don't argue about it. Don't fizzle. Don't try to second guess God. Don't sit around saying, yeah, but this is not the destiny I planned. This is not the plan that I made up for my life. This is not what I really want to do. You better get in line, folks. You better do what you want to do. I know Jerry here in the studio with me, my broadcasting engineer, he's a high school, one of the best in Texas, maybe the best. We'll give him that credit. In high school football, okay? And Texas has the best high school football. Everybody knows that. Now, you Buckeyes out there from Ohio and all that, you Oregonians, you can argue with me, all right, but I'll win. In any case, Jerry is a referee, and he wears that referee's uniform. He goes out on the field, and if he pulls the flag and says, that's a penalty, you were offsides, or you did this wrong, he doesn't allow him to argue. The game's got to go on. They better get with it. If he's going to penalize them 10 yards, he takes the 10 yards. And if they sit around trying to, you know, say, wait just a minute, ref, you don't know what you're doing. Guess what? They're out of the game. He has that authority. Friends, if God tells you something to do and you want to argue with him, you might just find yourself out of the game. You're going to get a penalty, okay? But play the rule by the rules, which are God's rules, are found in his Bible. Not your own rules. Everybody makes up rules. And there's a smorgasbord, a whole cafeteria style of Bibles and Bible versions. I'm talking about the King James Bible, my friends. You get that Bible, you obey it, and when God tells you something to do, you do it. You know, that's how I got started in this ministry. By my own reasoning, probably it wasn't a good idea, I thought. And then after I got involved in my ministry and I could see things are going to be quite tough and I was getting a lot of opposition, made a lot of enemies by telling the truth, I began to complain to God. Oh, Lord, you know, why me? You know, I don't have the money and I don't have the big name and the reputation. And, oh, why didn't you pick somebody else for this important mission? I'm too weak to do it. I can't handle it, you know. And I guess God, he was nice. He should have just said, shut up, you know, but he didn't. Maybe next time he will. But this time, when I was there moaning and groaning, saying, why me? You know, I can't do this. I don't have enough strength. And I said, why did you choose me for this mission? See, there's all kinds of missions. I just have one little bitty mission. But the church is framed together. It's like an architect's plan. And everything, you know, I mean, you got to have a front door to a home, but you got to have a roof. You got to have windows so the storm won't get in, so air will get in if you raise them up or whatever. You got to have steps. You got to get up to the stoop or the front porch so you can get in the door. There's all kinds of parts to a house. There's all kinds of parts to God's kingdom. And I just have this one little part. But even then I said, Lord, I can't do that part. I can't be that. Why did you choose me for that? Why didn't you choose somebody better than me? More prepared, stronger, more wise, more, okay, I could go on loan. Had more money. I didn't have the money. And I promise you, at that moment, I heard a voice. It was so clear in my mind. It made me cry. It was so definite, and it gave no way of trying to avoid it. And it doesn't happen very much that God would do that to us, but he did it to me, Tex Mars. He said, I knew you would do it. He called me, and I've been in this ministry now for around 26 years or so. He called me to do this ministry because he knew I would do it. Do as he says. You can't go wrong. Was I the right man for the job? Obviously. Now, you can name me 100 more people that could do a better job at Power Prophecy than me, perhaps. But God chose me. I don't know why, but there must be a reason. And you see, I can't second guess God. Just go with the plan, my friends. Follow his directions. Follow his instructions. And you will be a success. As Mary herself said. Okay? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Well, there's a lot of cases in the Bible, though, where men didn't do it. Sometimes we don't find out what happened later, but I don't really want to find out what happened to a lot of these people. There was a rich young ruler. You'll find that in Luke. Let's see, that'd be chapter 18, verse 18. Let me get out my Bible here and look at that. Okay. The rich young ruler, very rich man, came to see Jesus, and he started off this way. Now, this is in Luke 18, verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. All right, first of all, Jesus knows what is in the heart of every man. Before you even pray to God, before you communicate with him, he already knows what you're going to say. But say it anyway. He likes to hear from you. That's what the Bible says. He wants you to pray to him. Ask not. Receive not. Ask and ye shall receive. All right. Now, this ruler, this certain ruler came to him. And he was very rich, as it turns out. Very rich man. He started off by saying, good master. He addressed Jesus. Well, Jesus was good. And Jesus was the master. But maybe this man didn't mean it. Because Jesus said, why do you call me good? None is good save one. In other words, except for one, that's God. Evidently, this young ruler did not believe that Jesus was God come in the flesh. And Jesus was telling him, I know what you're thinking. You may have respect for me as a rabbi, you think, or as a good man, but you don't think I'm God. You don't believe in, you don't have faith in me that I came from heaven. Because he right away criticizes the young ruler. You know, don't go around calling somebody master. In fact, later in the Bible, you find out in the scriptures that we're told, call no man master except your Father in heaven. Call no man rabbi. That's why these guys are in these Messianic Jewish congregations. They say, I'm a Christian and I'm a pastor, so call me rabbi. Well, they're defying the Bible. The Bible says don't call anybody rabbi. That means master in Hebrew. You're calling somebody master. There's only one master. That's God. And Jesus is fully God. And he came in the flesh as God, Emmanuel. Now, so he was calling him good master, calling Jesus good master, but he didn't believe he was God. And only called God good master. So right away, Jesus saw that his heart was not right. And Jesus said unto him, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, that is the young ruler, all these have I kept from my youth up. Wow. I suspect he was telling the truth. He had tried to be pious and good on his own behalf all those years. From his youth, he had been good. Well, you can't knock a man for that, can you? Well, let's see. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. One thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.